Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
You bless us this day. In Jesus' mighty name, we're all in agreement. We say, amen. Amen. You can have a seat, get your Bibles. Go with me to the wonderful text of Hebrews. We're in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, continuing our study line upon line, precept upon precept in Hebrews chapter 10. Those of you that are joining us online, we welcome you. Get your Bibles out wherever you're at. And thanks for joining us. I believe the Spirit of God is going to speak to you. Today, I have a simple, simple message for you called Rock Solid Faith. Rock Solid Faith. Hebrews the 10th chapter, verse number 22. Continuing our study in Hebrews the 10th chapter, verse 22. It says this. It says, let us draw near with a true heart. Remember last time we were together, we talked about the fact that God wants us to come into His presence. If we are born in the Spirit of God, we have an open invitation to come into the presence of God. Now, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been made acceptable and worthy to come into His presence. There's been an opening, a new and living way for us through the veil. That is the flesh of Jesus Christ. Now, we can come through because the blood of Jesus Christ has been poured out. His flesh has been broken open. Now, that veil has been torn, and now we can get to the life of God. We can get into the very presence of God. And if we're going to approach God, remember last time we were together, we talked about this, you're going to have to approach God a certain way. Can't come in and visit a king any way you want. There's a way that you approach a king. And so God says it's the same thing with me. If you're going to approach me, you're going to have to come to me a certain way. And we found out last time we were together, the first way that God wants us to approach is with a true heart. God doesn't want any falsehood. God sees through all that. He sees past the mask. And so we need to make sure that we have a real heart, a genuine heart, a sincere heart, a true heart as we approach God. Now it goes on and it says this, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So not only is God looking for a true heart as we approach, also He's looking for a full assurance of faith. Now that means if there's a full assurance, that we could have had a half assurance of faith. Is that right? Yes, I understand. I believe the word of God, and I know that, and I understand that. And you know, but when I pray, sometimes I get it, and sometimes I don't. I've probably got about a 50-50 chance. See if God's going to come through for me. See, there is that half assurance of faith. You know, maybe God is, maybe God isn't. Let's see what He's going to do. And it's almost like you're rolling the dice and hoping to hit the right thing. And yet God says, if you're coming to me that way, don't do it. Why? Because I don't want you coming half-hearted. I want you coming with a full assurance of faith. There could be a quarter faith, right? Just a little bit. Yeah, I see that in God's word, but you know what? I prayed and it didn't happen. You know, maybe if God's being benevolent and kind, you know, He might show up and do something, but I really don't know that God ever would. He, you know, I must be so much of a sinner that He just doesn't really like me, and He's reserving those prayers for other people that are much better than I am. God is saying that's not the way to approach. The way that you approach me is with a true heart in full assurance of faith. We've got to believe God. See, half or quarter is not going to get you anything with God. Bible says, he who doubts, don't even ask. Why? Because you're like a wave of the ocean tossed to and fro by the wind. And let that man not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. Therefore, when we come to God, we have to believe God with our whole hearts. We've got to trust God and have faith for God's word in our life with everything that we have. Now, I want you to know something. He didn't say full assurance of thought. Is that right? Because this is not about mental assent. This is not about what we can calculate out. Oh, I can see how, you know, I could tell God how to do this, you know, because if He just did this and then operated that way and, you know, maybe you're like me, you're guilty of this. God, I'm praying for this. And God, it would be really neat if you came through in this way and did this. And by the way, they could do that. And then this would fall into place so that you could come through. And it'd be miraculous, God, even though we just calculated everything out, right? And so God is saying, no, this is not full assurance of thought. This is not something you can calculate out. Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Therefore, this is a faith walk. This is something that you're not going to know. You're not going to be able to calculate. You're not going to be able to understand how to do it. This is the unseen thing coming into a natural reality. And you're going to have a full assurance of faith and not a full assurance of thought. It's not a mental assent. I agree and I understand and I can calculate. No, it's I'm believing God for it. In the same way, God doesn't say full assurance of feelings. You know why? Because you're not always going to feel like God is coming through. In fact, there have been times where I've been believing God, and I have felt like probably the rest of the world does that's not a believer, that's saying God is probably somewhere out there in the universe on a cosmic cloud, and He's not really paying attention right now. That's how I felt in my natural person. But I knew in the heart of faith that God was going to come through, God was going to do great things, and guess what? He's never disappointed me yet, and he won't disappoint you either. And so in our lives, we have to approach God with full assurance of faith. I have a little video for you that kind of illustrates this point. Check out the overheads and watch this. Isn't that awesome? So question for you. Did they really believe? No. And yet God is inviting us into an adventure of faith with him. God is saying, if you really believe the word of God is true, if you really believe that I am who I say I am and that I can do what I said I can do, get in. And he's inviting us into something of greatness, an adventure of faith for each and every one of our lives. Maybe you've heard the present-day expression, very common in our modern-day vernacular, all in. You guys heard that expression? I'm going all in, right? Go big or go home. See, God is saying, I want you all in, full assurance of faith. I want you to be invested with everything that you are, leaning the entirety of your being, all of your energy, all of your strength, all that you are, all that represents you, lean it all into me and get in, because we're going somewhere in this journey of life and of faith. So how do we do that today? Rock solid faith, it comes from some places. Rock solid faith comes from a couple of places we're going to take a look at today. First place it comes from, rock solid faith comes from, number one, position. First place that rock solid faith comes from is a position. Because of our position in Christ, what is that position? Well, we have a true heart. We have a pure conscience, and we are washed in our bodies, right? Our physical bodies. Now, see, we're no longer that old sinner. We're not anymore that old dirty scoundrel, right? Now we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. And because we have that position in Christ, when God looks at us, he no longer sees the old man. No, he sees the new man. He sees Jesus clothing us. He sees the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. He sees his Son in and through us. And therefore, now we've been made acceptable before the Father, and we can come into the presence of God with a full assurance of faith. We can believe God because of our position in Christ. See, it's no longer about you and me. In our own strength, we couldn't make it. We couldn't do anything. We couldn't believe God enough. We couldn't confess enough. We couldn't know enough. We couldn't do enough in order to get the job done in life. And yet God says when you take a position in Christ Jesus, when you get in alignment with me, when you get connected with me, now all of a sudden things happen and you can have rock solid faith. See, things out of alignment just don't work. You think about an engine or a motor in a car or something like that. If everything's connected, everything's tight, everything's wound up, and everything's moving the right way, now all of a sudden those pistons can move and things can fire at the right times, and all of a sudden the wheels can turn and you can turn the direction of the car and get where you need to go. But the moment something gets out of alignment, you know very well. Why? Because if you've ever thrown a rod in a car or had a gasket blow or you had something that got out of alignment, right, even tires getting out of alignment, you get unusual wear and then a tire pops or something like that happens, and now all of a sudden it's disappointing, it's frustrating, and you're not going anywhere. Same thing with us and God. We got to stay in Christ. We got to connect with Jesus. This is about our position in him. Let me show this to you in the Word. Turn with me to the book of John, Gospel of John. And we're in John chapter number 15. Jesus is speaking to his disciples that are with him. But this isn't just a story, and this isn't just something that Jesus said to the disciples. This has been contained for thousands of years for you and I today so that we can read it and hear what a disciple of Jesus Christ should look like. Really, that's us today. We are disciplined followers of Jesus. That's what a disciple is. And now as a follower of Jesus, Jesus is speaking yes to his disciples, but that means he's speaking to us today. John the 15th chapter, verse number 5, take a look at it with me. Look at what Jesus says. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Notice there's a position. Jesus is central. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. We are to stem off of Jesus. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, what is abides? You remember that word? Live, stay, and dwell. So if you stay in your spot with Jesus, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Now look at the last part of this verse. For without me, you can do nothing. What is he saying? He's saying that I am like the vine. I am the vine. I am the one. I'm the central part. I am the part that is giving the life-giving sap to the rest of the plant. And as a branch, if you're disconnected from me, you're not going to receive what you need for your life. Therefore, stay in your spot. Stay connected to Jesus. And therefore, if you stay in me and I in you, then I'm going to give you that life-giving sap and you will produce by nature of what's going on in you, you will produce fruit in your life. Drop down two verses real quick just for fun. Two verses. I don't know if they have this up on the overheads. They've been really good in the back. They've just been doing a bang-up phenomenal job. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. See, sometimes we wonder, why aren't my prayers getting answered? Why isn't God coming through? I thought I was believing God for something. And God is saying, stay connected. Stay in your spot. Hold on. Abide. Live. Stay. Dwell in me. And as you do, I will give you the resource and the fuel and the faith and everything that you have need of in order to get the job done. You're going to produce fruit in answered prayers. Are you listening today? Rock solid faith, number one, comes from a position. Number one comes from a position. Number two, I like this one. Rock solid faith comes from, number two, promise. Second place that we find that rock solid faith comes from is from a promise. Now, let me make a statement to you, and then I'm going to talk to you about this statement. Our faith must have a basis. In other words, your faith must be in something in order for you to even have faith. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Therefore, if it's invisible, if it's out of this natural reality, it's got to be faith that's in something. Faith is grounded and flows forth from something else. That is the promise of God. See, you can have faith in gravity. You know that it's going to work, right? And that's why when you sit in a chair, you know that that chair is going to hold the weight. You can have faith in that chair. You can have faith in something that you eat and receive nutrients from. But our faith is grounded not in outward things, not in worldly things, but our faith is grounded in the Word of God. I love what Hudson Taylor said to his wife. He was writing to her during a difficult time. He's a missionary in China, and they were having a difficult time at the China Inland Mission. And he writes to his wife, and he says this, we have 25 cents and all the promises of God. See, his faith wasn't in what he had in his pocketbook. Some of you might be saying, I said that to my wife last night. But listen, this is not about what you have in your pockets or don't have in your pockets. This is about what promise do you have from God. Your faith has to be grounded in the promise of God. Because what you're believing God for, you need to have something to stand on. Okay? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Some of you guys can quote it with me. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you're going to get faith, if you're going to build faith, it's got to come from somewhere. And the Bible defines for us, where does it come from? It tells us how to get faith. How do you get faith? By hearing. Hearing what? Hearing by the word of God. We can see this in our lives, okay? For instance, take a walk back in your life. You could not have had faith for salvation unless you had first heard the gospel. Is that true? So therefore, it wasn't until somebody came to you. Maybe it was mom, maybe it was a Sunday school teacher, maybe it was a coworker, a relative, a friend, maybe it was the big mouth preacher up here, one of us, right? And you heard something, you heard for the first time, and maybe you understood this in your head, but now all of a sudden you heard the word of the Lord that, listen, Jesus went to the cross, Jesus was beaten and bloodied, and he took your punishment, and he died on the cross and poured out his soul unto death for you. And now, because he took your death sentence, you no longer have to die and be punished for that sin. Now it's been put on Christ, and now as you believe on the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, your sin is transferred to the Lamb of God, and now his righteousness is transferred to you. And all of a sudden, what happened? You were born again. You gave God all of your heart. You gave God all of your life. Not only believing with mental assent, but now believing unto righteousness. You believed with your heart. You confessed with your mouth, and it changed the way that you live your life. All of a sudden, there was a regeneration. You were born again. See, that could not have happened. You could not have had faith for salvation unless you first heard the gospel. So then, if that's how it starts, if that's the very first introduction we have to faith, then doesn't it make sense that that's how it continues in every other area of your walk with God? In every other area of faith? See, because a lot of times people don't know the word of God, so they don't ever have faith to believe God, and they don't get the answers to the prayers that they want. Why? Because they have no faith. If you never knew that God is the healer, you would just live your life sick. You'd just say, well, I guess this is just life. Okay, sada, sada. You know, stuff happens. Bodies wear out. Things just get drained, right? And I guess this is just my lot in life. I'm just going to live with this. But see, if you know the word of God, which says that God is the healer, I am the Lord that heals you. Now, all of a sudden, you say, well, God wants to heal me? Oh, yeah, he does. The Bible says that by his stripes you were healed. Wait a second. If I were healed, then I am healed. See, now all of a sudden you can have faith to believe God in an area of your life. See, if you said, well, you know, I understand God's the healer and he can heal, but maybe he doesn't want to heal me. Maybe he's punishing me for that bad thing that I did last week, and that's why I'm sick this week. Maybe God, you know, could heal, but does he really want to heal me? Maybe this is just how I have to live my life. But if you know Matthew, the 8th chapter, verse number 3, where the leper comes to Jesus and falls down before him and says, if you are willing, I can be cleansed. And Jesus reaches out and touches him. That was unlawful for a rabbi to do. It would have made Jesus unclean, but Jesus says, I am willing, be cleansed. And he transfers healing and cleansing to the leper. See, now all of a sudden you've got a promise. Now you can believe God. Now you can say, God, I believe your word, which says that you are willing, that I was healed, therefore I am healed, and start declaring the promise of God over your life. Maybe you never knew that God wanted to bless you in the area of your finances. Maybe that's a new concept to you, and you're thinking, well, wait a second. Doesn't God want me broke and poor and busted and disgusted? I mean, Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head. Doesn't that what the Bible says? Yeah, Jesus was talking about that. He said, you know, the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head, but he was speaking to somebody about following him and talking about the cost of discipleship. But did you know that Jesus had a treasurer that took care of the financial resources for their group? They were traveling around. They were doing ministry. How do you think they had to eat? And if they were going to stay at the inn, they got to pay the innkeeper, right? Because if the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head, where are they going to stay? Okay? So there were resources that were needed. Somebody busted a sandal strap on the road, you got to go buy another sandal strap. Where do you think that comes from? So they had a treasurer in Jesus' group. Now the treasurer's name was Judas. We know Judas. He's the one that betrayed Jesus. Judas was skimming off the top, the Bible says. That means that Jesus had enough wealth to take care of 13 people and have enough that they didn't even notice that someone was stealing. So, okay, What about the New Testament? What about, you know, there are plenty of warnings against wealth, and you got to be careful about that. But at the same time, the Apostle Paul, traveling, doing ministry. How did he get from point A to point B? He had to travel. He had to walk. He had to take a boat ride. And you don't just jump on a boat. You had to pay, right? That's called charter. That's called we're going out. You're going to take me from A to B. So he had to work hard. He had to be a wise steward. He had wealth, and he had so much wealth and worked hard enough that he wouldn't even be a burden to the churches. Paul used wealth in his life. So that means that if God has a purpose for wealth in my life, we need to know what it is. We need to build faith for it so that we can bring it into our lives. What is the purpose of God for our wealth? Well, God told Abraham that you would be blessed. Why? So that you could be a blessing. And we see that witness in the New Testament. Now we're the children of Abraham by faith. We receive the blessing of Abraham in our lives as we enter into covenant with Jesus. And now all of a sudden we are blessed. Why? So that we can be a blessing. Not so that I can store up and look how good I am, how cool I am, how rich I am. That's not what this is about. This is about us being blessed so that we can be a blessing. You remember the verse that my God shall cause all grace to abound towards you so that in all things, having all sufficiency, that's wealth, that's having abundance. And he says, why? That you may be abundantly supplied for every good work. Therefore, you have wealth. Why? So that when your neighbors hitting a hard time and can't pay their mortgage, listen, I'm going to help you out. I'm so blessed. I can help you out now. So that when the church starts having outreaches and we're saying, you know, if you'd like to get on board and slap a 20 down, you say, no, I'm going to slap a 200 down. Hello, come on, somebody. See, you're blessed so that you can be a blessing, so that when Missions Month comes up and the Lord lays it on your heart, there's a missionary sitting over there. I want you to go bless them and just go lay a check on them. See, if you don't have anything, you can't give anything. But if you know the promise of God for your life in the area of wealth, now you can go and lay it down on them. Hey, I just want to bless you. I just want to see the gospel preached. I want to see people reached over where you're going. That's what this is about. See, but if you never know that, see, you got to get a hold of the promise of God and take hold of the promise of God for your life. Let's take a look at it. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, we were in verse 22. The very next verse, verse 23, says this. It says that we are to look at these guys are so good. I didn't even have this in my notes. You just pop it up. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. That word confession that I've had them highlight up on the overheads, that word confession is a Greek word called homologia. Homologia, it's a compound word, actually two words put together to make one word. Homo meaning together and logos meaning the word, okay? Homologia. So it's the word together. That's kind of an interesting thought. Really what it means is coming in agreement with holding on to the word together. Who are we holding on to the word together with? Well, with God himself, right? Because Jesus is the word. He is the logos, the Bible says. He is the word of God in its entirety. And when we confess the word, when we get a hold of the word of God and we start to declare it out of our mouth, now we are holding in agreement the word together with God. Some of you, this is the very first time you've ever heard something taught like this before. Let me show it to you in the word. Hebrews chapter 4. Turn there with me. Remember Hebrews chapter 4? Hebrews the 4th chapter, verse number 12. Very familiar verse when it comes to the Word of God and our understanding about the Word. We spent weeks, I believe, in this verse. Hebrews the 4th chapter, verse number 12 says this, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, we don't have time to get into everything that the verse is saying, but look at what it says about the Word. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Notice I highlighted on the overheads, two-edged sword. That word for sword is makira, okay? It was a small sword about this long, okay, that the Romans loved. This was their favorite weapon. And the Roman guards would have this attached to their belt, and they had the shield on, right? And when they would go into battle, they would pull out that sword, that makira, and it was a sharp, double-edged sword on both sides so that they could hack and slash, and it could slice and dice any which way they go. If they could pull you in, they would get you in close, and they would take you down with that sword. So the people of the time knew this word makira, but then he adds a two-edged sword. It's almost redundant when you think about the makira. But really, that word two-edged means two-mouthed, double-mouthed, like a river that has two rivers coming together as one. Really, what it is saying is that when the Word of God is now declared out of your mouth, because that word for word up there is not logos like we saw in the last word. This is now rhema. It's a spoken word. It's a quickened word. It's living and active, sharper than any two-mouthed makira. It is the sword of God. It's the word of God that now has two mouths. God the Father is speaking it, declaring it in heaven, and now you on the earth are coming in agreement and declaring the will and the counsel and the word of the Lord out of your mouth. It is now that piercing, sharp, double-edged sword. So how does this look? Maybe you had a time where you were broken. You were just brokenhearted and sitting down, and maybe it was about your family, your kids were going south. You sat down in a coffee house with a good friend. You started talking to your friend, and you're pouring out your heart. And as you're pouring out your heart, all of a sudden, the word of the Lord comes into your heart. My children are taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace and their undisturbed composure. And you say, that's weird. I don't know why that scripture is coming up into my heart. Now, you have a decision to make. You can either just store that there in your heart, or you can allow that sharp, double-edged sword, because God is speaking that to you. Your spirit is now speaking. The voice of God is speaking in your spirit, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And now when you declare, well, you know what? I may feel this way. This may be tough, but my children are taught of the Lord. They got this. They have the Holy Spirit. They got saved when they were little, and I know that they are raised up in the ways of the Lord, and they shall not depart from it even when they grow old. My children are taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace and their undisturbed composure. Maybe you're up in the middle of the night and you're in prayer and you're having a struggle on the job and you're saying, you know what, God, I don't know what this is. I need breakthrough, God. And you're praying and you're pouring out your heart to God. And all of a sudden God says those that do well will appear before kings. And you're like, what is that scripture all about? What's happening? The Spirit of God is quickening. He's speaking a rhema word to your life. And now in prayer, you can declare that word of God. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You can pull out your sword and you can start to declare the word, and that seed will go out and it will produce after its own kind. God will bring it to pass. So you've got to have a promise. Any area of your life, whatever it is that you're facing, whatever it is that you're believing God for, get a hold of a scripture. Why? Because as you take hold of the word of God and you start to declare the word of God, see, it doesn't have to happen where you're in prayer or where you're sitting there. If you can just find it, if you can get a hold of it, if you can pray through the word of God in your daily reading as you find a verse that speaks to you about your life, you say, I like that verse. That verse is for me. Don't just let it sit there. Start to declare it out of your mouth and speak the promise and the will and the counsel and the word of God over your life, because now it has the power to come to pass. See, that's what this is all about. Let people think that you're crazy. Go into your prayer closet, church, and go start declaring the word of God. Be in the shower, and as your spouse is out there, let them think that you're crazy. Who are you talking to, honey? I'm speaking the word right now. I'm talking to myself. Sitting there in the car, just talking. People are looking, saying, they must have hands free. Yes, I do have hands free. Hands raised to Jesus, right? Come on, Lord, I'm declaring the promise today. I am blessed of Almighty God. I have all the promises of God. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Declare the word of God. By his stripes I was healed. My children shall return to their borders. I will have peace of God that passes all understanding. See, whatever it is that you're facing, get the promise of God and start to declare it over your life. Are you listening today? Hallelujah. Last place, rock solid faith comes from number one position, number two promise. Number three, this is the most important one. Most important one for today. Rock solid faith comes from person. God himself, he is the person. God is faithful. Oh, church, if you don't hear anything else today, hear this. You can trust God. You can believe God. Position and promise aren't enough. There has to be a promisor who is going to come through. And if you're putting your faith in the preacher, or you're putting your faith in the friend, or you're putting your faith in the job, or the boss, or the government, or any other place, it's not gonna happen. You have to have a rock-solid faith that comes from the person of Jesus Christ. He has never failed, never will fail. He cannot lie. Therefore, when God speaks a word and you start to speak the word, God has to perform it. Otherwise, he would be a liar and has to give up his throne. God will not be made a liar. That's why the Bible says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And therefore, as you sow the word of God into your life, you will reap the word of God each and every day. You can take that promise to the bank. You can cash it in and say, I got this. This is what is going on. This is what's happening. You can start to walk by faith. You can start to do things. If you're believing for your kids to come back, start preparing the room. Open the door, open up the windows, start cleaning off the dust. Say, my children are coming back to me. Come on now. Believe in God for prosperity. Make sure the bank account is open. Okay, God, the storehouse is open. It's wide open, God. Come on, start a fund. Believe in God for a new house. Come on, write on it, house fund, and start to put that seed in there and say, God's going to bless me. God's going to do it. I have opened up room now. I've sown the seed. I'm believing God, and God is faithful. Love what Corrie Ten Boom said. She was a lady that was in the concentration camps in Nazi Germany. Listen to what she said and think about the position, the place that she says this from. She said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Isn't that awesome? Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Here's a lady who did not know whether or not there was going to be a man coming into their barracks in the middle of the night and just taking people out. Didn't know what was going to happen to her sister. Didn't know what was going to happen in her life. And yet, after all is said and done, she says, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. You can look around the world. You can look in life. You can look at situations and circumstances, and it can be hard to believe God. It can be hard to trust God. It's easy to drift away, and yet, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. We have a great example in the Word of God in Abraham. You know Abraham, the father of faith. Abraham, who was called out of his land and called to go where God had called him. Think about that for a second. Here's a guy, didn't know God, wasn't serving God, and God starts to speak to him, and God reveals himself to him and says, I want you to get out of your land, the land of your fathers, and I want you to go to a place where I will show you. Now, they didn't have Google Maps at that time. There was no little pin dropped on a GPS location that Abraham could look at his phone and say, oh, look, we're almost there. The blue dots almost reached the pin. They didn't have none of that. They didn't have MapQuest. They didn't have Yahoo. Didn't have anything. Abraham didn't even have past the third rock on the right on the far end of the mountain. That's where he said, go and I'll show you when you get there. So Abraham gathers up all the people, all of his wealth, all of his house, all of the flocks, all the herds, his wife and his nephew, and he launches out. And you know what happens when he shows up? God speaks to him. He says, all right, you made it. Here it is. Walk around. Go take a look at it. This is what I'm giving to you and your descendants. And Abraham starts to have an honest conversation with God. God, wait a second. Hold on. What are you going to give me? I don't even have an heir. I don't have a son. I don't have anybody to hand this off to. And so God starts to reveal promises to him that, hey, look up in the stars. Look at the sky. Takes him on a star walk, and he says, if you can count the number of stars in the sky, that's how many number of descendants you will have. Now, they didn't have smog like we have, so it wasn't like 12 like we would count, you know. This was billions of stars that he was able to see, and maybe God even opened up his mind to see even more. Maybe he gave him an overwhelming view of the universal host of heaven. My goodness. So then here's Abraham when he launched out. He's 75 years old, walking out with a promise, and now here he is 99 years old, and God says, next year about this time, you're going to have a son. How did Abraham do it? I mean, 75 and his wife is 65. Yeah, maybe we could see that would happen. But now here he is 99 years old. His wife is 89 years old. And here he is believing God for the promise. How did he stay in faith? Romans chapter 4. Turn there with me. Romans, the fourth chapter. Turn there with me. Learn about our father, Abraham, father of the faith. Romans chapter 4, verse number 20, verse number 21 talks about this. Romans chapter 4, verse number 20, it says this about Abraham. It says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. How did he get strengthened in faith? Verse number 21, look at this. And being fully convinced, everybody say fully convinced. Remember, we're talking about a full assurance of faith, rock solid faith. He was fully convinced. Why? And being fully convinced that what he, capital H, speaking of God, what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Listen, church, if all you have is a promise and a prayer, that's all you need. Why? Because you can judge God faithful because he's not only promised it, he's also able to perform it. Are you listening today? Now, that's good, but what about his wife, Sarah? She had a part to play in this too, right? She had to believe God too, and she didn't have all the encounters with God like Abraham did. You know, maybe some of you women can relate. Well, I know the man of God heard, but Lord, you got to start speaking to me too here. What's happening? And you remember, here Sarah is. She's listening outside the tent, and she hears that she's going to have a child, and she laughs, right? Woo-hoo-hoo! Am I really going to enjoy myself with a baby, right? Is this really what's going to happen? And God says, no, don't laugh. This is real. About this time next year, mark my words, you're going to have a baby. How did Sarah do it? Hebrews, the 11th chapter. You say, Pastor, is it okay that we go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter? Sure. We could use it. We'll be there in about a year or so. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, because we're going so fast. Hebrews 11, verse number 11, talks about Sarah. How did she do it? So yeah, Abraham had all these great encounters with God, these great experiences. How did she do it? Hebrews the 11th chapter, verse number 11, starts out with two wonderful words. Look at this, by faith. Oh my goodness, how are you going to make it? By faith. What's going to happen? By faith. What's God going to do? By faith. Look at this, Hebrews 11:11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age. How? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. In other words, she looked at her life, she looked all around, and circumstances, age, everything told her this can't happen. But she looked past all that and she said, well, God called us out of Ur. God took care of us. God watched over us. God took care of my nephew Lot when he was out there in Sodom. God took care of my husband when he went to rescue him. God took care of us when we went to Egypt. And now God says, I'm going to have a child. God is faithful, and God will bring the promise to pass in my life. That's how it happened. Church, hopefully you have signposts on the way. God saved me. God delivered me. God took care of me. God broke through. God made it happen. God promised. God was faithful. See, draw from those experiences in your life, and God will take care of you. God is able in every area of your life. Rock solid faith comes from, number one, a position, number two, a promise, and number three, most importantly of all, the person, God Himself. Did you get something from the Word today? Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.